جايه من شباب برا محمد فطر ابراج جاچاريا اشتوتر شد شري شيمان ابي شرنا رويند بتويلان گوسوام هرشيلا پروپال کي جايه من تريلا پرويش اوم شباب برا محمد فطر ابراج جاچاريا اشتوتر شد شري شيمان بت سيدان سرسوي هرشيلا پروپال کي آنند ہوڑی ویشنو برندے کی نماجار شری ہرداس ٹھاکر کی پریم سہو شری کرشن چیتنیہ پربھو نتیہ آنند شری ادوائی گداتھار شروع سالی گوری بھکت برندے کی شری شری رادھا کرشن گو گوینات شیام برندے رادھا برندے گری گوبر دھان کی برندہ آن دھام کی مائی پور دھام کی مدر بری دھام کی جگنات پری دھام کی دوارہ پری دھام کی گنگ مائی کی یمنا مائی کی تلسی دیوی کی بھکتی دیوی کی سام ویل بھکت برندے کی گوبر پرینندی All glories to the assembly bodies. All glories to the assembly bodies. All glories to the assembly bodies. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Guru and all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namah Mishrupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Shemadeh Bhaktivedananda Swami Dinamini Namaste Sarasvidevi Gavravani Prajayarini Navisheshunyavari Pachyati Deshadarini नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनम् करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहरहितांगम् मामुद्धर भवानवान् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णैव हि श्रीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्तं नोह्यद प्रभो नासंकीर्तनं यस्य सर्ववापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यस्य यतोन्मया इतरदस् अर्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वराट् ते ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो भारी मृदम यथा विनिमयो यत्रत्र सर्गो मृषा धान्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्त उहगम सत्यम परम धीमहि धर्म प्रोचित कैदवोत्रवरमो नर्मत्सराणां सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनि कृते किम्वापरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यमरुद्यरेत्र कृतिभि शुश्रूषुभिदक्षणा निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रव संयुधं पिबदभागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुका सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोल्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्त्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुवेदमवेदकृत्यं वैवायनो विरहकादरमाचुभाव पुत्रे दिनन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिदिदीर्षतां तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननिन्दोः मम वाजि विजम्बनामुरारे मधुरीन्न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवि गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवाणि पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दप्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशा
व्यासं हरिगतो गीतं पुनारी भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्द परमानन्दे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदरी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालेशमनिशं हृदिभावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वीणं श्यामलोयं कुमारक वित्तबीजबलं ब्रह्म वासदां पुरतो मम मूकं करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपादमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाघवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमदराधिकाय नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द
So last Sunday from Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is giving these important instructions to Uddhava. Uddhava was asking this question that how that same in the same body two birds, we talked about that before, that one is always liberated and the other one is always conditioned. So Uddhava's question was that how can this happen within one body? So in answer to that, Krishna started explaining about the situation in which the living entity has conditioned himself. How the conditioning happened to the jiva, or how the jiva state has come into existence. So Krishna was saying there that the dehastobina dehasta, that an important verse this is in the Bhagavadam, dehastobina dehasta, that a person who is freed himself from the body, even though he is within the body, he is not in the body anymore. This is the important point. Dehastobina dehasta vidvan swapnar yathothidaha, that just like one has woken up from the dream state to the wakened state, as he realizes that it was only a dream, similarly he realizes that when he was within the body also, it was a dream state that he was going through. That the important Krishna wants us to slowly pull us out from this bodily understanding of life. Whole of Bhagavad Gita, whole of Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken with this goal in mind, that how to free ourselves from the material conditioned state, conditioning with the body. So Krishna is saying there, dehastobi na dehasta vidvan swapnal yathotida. Just like he has freed himself from the dream and came to the vacant state and realized that it was a dream that he was experiencing, similarly, when he comes out of this body, then that means he is in the jivan mukta state or in the liberated state, he realizes that the body was not a reality. It is very difficult to accept this in the conditioned state. Therefore, he is saying like that, that vidvan swapnal yathotida. Adehastobina dehasta. On the other hand, Krishna is saying those who have not freed themselves from the body, adehastobina dehasta, that even though they have practically left the body, that they have gone out of the body, still that kumati, Krishna says kumati, kumati swapnadrag yatha. That vidvan swapnal yathothida, he said, and here he says kumadi swapnadrig yatha, that he is still dreaming about his body. These are the different stages what happens to us when we leave this body. If we have left this body with the full understanding, or if we have left this body without fully understanding that I am not this body, if we have left this body, this situation will happen to us. Krishna is warning us there. what will happen is, if we leave this body without realizing that we are not this body, because our attachment to this body is so strong, we will come back to this body again. Somehow or the other we want to get back to the same body. And because there is no possibility of getting back to this body, after it has left the body, it wanders around looking for an opportunity to come back to associate with the same environment. This is what vasana is talking about. Krishna talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? The vasanas, what is powerful inside us, is what determines this, whether to leave the body or not. So Krishna's point is that by knowledge and realization, if one has not removed this ignorance from inside, that I am not this body, or this ignorance that I am this body, if one has not removed that before his death, what can happen is that even after death you won't lose the body. Even after death you won't lose the body. Krishna talks about this in various ways so that the point gets through to us. You will notice that simple thing it is. If you put it in two lines, you can conclude the whole thing. But Krishna is keep on talking about in all different ways to tell us that before we leave this body, if we have not removed this ignorance in us that I am this body, what will happen is, Krishna is saying there, that by death alone, you are not going to lose the body. By death alone, you are not going to lose the body. Because even if you have lost the body mechanically or physically, you have lost the body, you have not lost it inside. You are still there inside with the body. In the subtle body, this attachment to the body is so powerful. Krishna is saying that even after given an opportunity, Krishna gives a lot of stress on this point, that after giving a body, if one does not take advantage of it, and if he does not remove this ignorance, Krishna calls it as ajnanam or avidya inside, that I am this body. If that I am this body concept has not gone away from inside, by death also it's not going to make a big difference to that person, because he will come and take another body because of his attachment to the body. He has to take another body. That's the most important thing. That this identity with the body cannot be easily taken out from us. If we leave this identity, we'll get another identity. But the very fact that we are not body, we are not the body, and we are the soul, that requires knowledge and realization. So if we do not get to that stage in this life, what Krishna is saying is that if you have not removed this ignorance that I am not this body, while being in this world, in this body, the possibility is that you will get another body. You will get another body again. That's why Krishna is saying that we have taken for granted, I am this body now. That is deeply embedded in us, that I am this body. So, before leaving this body, these ideas about the body has to go. That I am this body. This body is mine. And this body is for my enjoyment. That is what is injected into us very strongly. Isn't it? That's why we are busy with this bodily activity so much. That I am this body. And this body is mine. And I have to protect this body. So many illusions are built around all these things. But Krishna wants us to free ourselves from that by explaining that in different ways to Uddhava. That how does that happen? That this understanding that when one, this body and the soul, in reality they don't touch each other, they have no connection. The body has come and stays there around the soul. So this connection between the body and the soul is what Krishna is talking about. It is called Asparsha Yoga. Asparsha Yoga means there is no sparsham, there is no touching between the two. In other words, soul is not a part of the body, body is not a part of the soul, but they are together. They are together. But at the same time, they are not together. They are not together. Soul is independent. Soul is always independent. So Krishna points out here that for one who has come to this understanding, that I am the soul, I am independent of the body, for him death is not a problem. It is not an experience at all. Because he knows he is the soul, he is not the body. So he is free from that illusion. No more it affects him. That is, he is fortunate that he is not affected by that anymore. Whereas if a person, even if a slight understanding that I am this body exists, then he has to come back and take another body, get another body. So there he says, Krishna is saying here, that even if in the normal circumstances, if the vasanas are inside, to accept another body or the attachment to the body in some form exists in a person, Krishna says, like a spider, he will stay around and start making another web around based on his new vasanas. And that is how this new body develops around him. The soul, after leaving this body, if it has not completely freed itself from the bodily conception of life or bodily identity or bodily understanding, what will happen is that whatever little vasanas are left inside in that with that soul, they will build another body like a spider makes a web. A spider's web. It creates another one, and exactly in the same way, another body is created around him. That on the other hand, Krishna is saying here, even if you have developed this knowledge strongly inside, if one has developed this knowledge strongly inside, then I'm not this body, depending on to what extent one has freed oneself from the bodily identity. Accordingly, what will happen is, Krishna says here, even if you have to, due to the power of the vasanas inside, if one has to accept another body by chance, if that happens, this memory of I am not this body will follow him to the next life. Very strongly it will follow him at a very early age in life. All great personalities, if you look, you will see this in them. That from an early age, it starts driving them away from the material way of life. Material way of life means materialistic knowledge is ignorance. That identification with jadam, dead matter. So that dead matter identification with the dead matter has to go from inside, and identification with the reality, sat, that has to come in. This is what Krishna started Bhagavad Gita with, isn't it? What did Krishna say to Arjuna? Masade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sadha, ubayoravi drishtvandam stanayor tattva darshivi. So tattvam is this, that sat is the only reality, soul is the only reality, body is not a reality. But if we somehow or the other, we are caught up in this body business for a very, very long period of time. In so many different bodies we have come through. And we have collected many kinds of vasanas from all these different bodies, and that is in us. For example, all these animalistic propensities in us. What are they? Like the mentality of the tiger, mentality of the fox, mentality of the snake, mentality of the lion. All our different mentalities comes in the form of lust, anger, greed, and cheating propensities. All these are coming from that different bodies what we have taken. And that is what is still with us. So Krishna says here that due to the vasanas, vasana shunyam, it's called, in vasana shunyam means completely nullifying the vasanas inside. In other words, it's also called vasana kshayam, how all the vasanas are completely wiped out. Vasana kshayam, vasana shunyam, these are different words used in the philosophy. So vasanas goes away, and vasana kshayam happens to a person. Depending on the amount of vasanas he is carrying with him, accordingly he has to accept the next body. This is the reality. So Krishna says here, even if you have to accept another body, if the vasanas have not completely wiped out or gone away, still it's not a loss. That is what you will find in the Bhagavatam. There is a statement. Krishna says this, isn't it? What is the loss if this knowledge has not completely relieved you from this world? Even then there is no loss as far as Krishna is concerned. And Krishna says there that sulpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahado bhayad. It is a very important statement in the Bhagavad Gita. Sulpam. Sulpam means very little. Apyasya dharmasya. If this dharma of spiritual life or spirituality, even if a little bit goes inside, trayade mahado bhayad, from a great danger you can escape in this world. Not only in this lifetime, forever. That is Krishna's words on that. Krishna, while talking to Arjuna, Krishna says this, sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayad, that you can get over big fear. Because where is the fear coming from? Fear is coming from identification with the body. So as much as we are relieved from the bodily identification, the fear also goes away. Automatically the fear will go. That's why you find in all great Mahatmas, you will find this quality in them. They are fearless. How did they become fearless? Not that they are very strong physically, they can beat up anyone. That's not what made them fearless. What made them fearless is this, that this understanding that what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita has been realized by them. They realized it, and therefore to different degrees, different personalities, great personalities on a much higher degree. Therefore they are more fearless. They can go anywhere, talk whatever they want to say about, because they are fixed in the truth. Svalpavapyasya dharmasya trayade mahadobhaya. Mahadobhaya means even great danger you can overcome by understanding spiritual life, by developing spiritual consciousness or spiritual reality. Or when one understands one's spiritual identity, he is freed from fear. In the Bhagavatam also the same thing is spoken, but only spoken in different ways. Bhayam dhitiya bhinivesha dasyal ishada veda sivaryayo smriti. If you remember, Kavi Maharshi said this to Nimi. Kavi said to Nimi, this fear has come from where? Ishada veda sivaryayo smriti. One has forgotten one's identity, what he is. Then the fear started immediately at that point. So, bhayam dhitiya bhinivesha dasyal. Instead of thinking that I am realizing to this point that I am the soul, spirit soul, I have identified with the body, dviriyam, the second thing, the jadam, dead matter. And along with the body, I have identified so many different things. Ishad abedasya, with the result that I have forgotten that truth inside which is the soul. Vivaryayo smriti, my smriti has gone in the opposite direction. Because of that, I have to suffer. I have to accept the fear and all other material turbulences, everything. Ragam, dvesham, bhayam, krodham, kamam, krodham, madam, moham, malsaryam. Different things, what is spoken in the as the different sufferings, what one experiences, raga, dvesha, adi, and it's all those things. So, even if you provide, Krishna says, all facilities in a particular material body, even if it is provided, Krishna is saying that the body has its own limitations. That also we have to recognize. Body has its own limitations. And when we continuously absorb in the happiness of the body, because we won't see the truth anytime, all the time our absorption will be inside the body. Therefore, what will he do in that situation? Because his happiness is always in the body. There are most of the majority of the people in this world live in that way. Isn't it? Majority of the people live in that way. That bodily happiness. That's all. As soon as they wake up, from then on till they go to bed to sleep, that they have these five senses, five gates open. And through the five gates, thieves start coming from one place or the other. Different thieves enter through all the five gates. So, if you are not alert enough inside, the owner of the body, Kshetrajna, Krishna refers to, Kshetrajnam chabhimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharadam, in the 13th chapter, that I am the Kshetrajna inside, Krishna says. So, if the proprietor of a house is not alert enough, what will happen? The thieves will enter in and steal the different things from the house. So, therefore, importance is given there. That if one is not conscious of these things, the possibility is that continuously we will be cheated by our senses, one after the other. Then, what can be done? So what will happen is to that person, he is always dreaming, who is in the completely bodily concept of life. That therefore, one who has experienced in that way his life, Krishna talks about that, one who has experienced a life, carried on his living in that way, without caring for spiritual life, without caring about spiritual life. Caring about spiritual life means taking Krishna's word seriously. That is spiritual life. Not that all the rituals we do, that is another thing. That is there only to help us. But taking Krishna's word seriously in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that is spiritual life. So here what happens is, he says here, that person who has not taken spiritual life seriously, what will happen to him at the old age? What will happen to him is that because he has become habituated this enjoyment with the senses throughout, he will find it very difficult to give it up. At the end, he will find it very difficult to give it up. Very end. So then he starts inquiring, how can I enjoy it? This body is going to go. He more or less comes to terms with it. So then he comes to hear that if I go to the heavenly planets, I can enjoy there still. There, when you go there, that there is plenty of alcohol to drink, and plenty of women to dance with, and plenty of other sense enjoyment opportunities are provided in the heavenly planets. So his thoughts go in that direction. It is those people who have enjoyed life here to a higher degree, still there's no sense has come to them about the reality of the soul, then they start inquiring about the happiness after death. Happiness after the death. That these are all related to the mainly it is spoken related to the older people. Because at the old age, one who has lived a life in this pattern of enjoying senses whole life, you would find it very hard to pull back into spiritual life. It is a big problem. Because throughout life we got used to so much sense enjoyment, it becomes very difficult at the old age to take note of the soul and to absorb the mind in the spirituality, spiritual life. It becomes very difficult for them. So therefore he starts inquiring. So once it so happened, one person like that who had spent all his life in enjoyment, he heard from somewhere that if you perform penances, apsaras women will still come and dance. He heard like that. He read all these things from somewhere. He picked up this information. Little bits of information people pick up here and there, isn't it? So he has picked up this information that if you perform some penances, that it is possible still that you can get some enjoyment in this life. Sometimes he heard, for example, in the Bhagavatam, the story of Priyavrata is there, and also Agnidra's story. Agnidra's story is very interesting. Agnidra started performing penances, and the apsaras woman was sent there, isn't it? Purvachiti Nama. Purvachiti was her name. Indra sent her to block the penances, the austerities and penances, tapasya of Agnidra. So he had heard somewhere that there are so many instances like that. Vishwamitra was performing penances, Menaka came, he heard this. Like this somewhere in Ramayanam and Mahabharata, many stories like this. That if you perform some penances, still you can enjoy, some apsaras woman will come and you will get an opportunity to enjoy with her. So this understanding he got here. He didn't inquire anything further. He was only looking for that enjoyment part of it. So he goes to one saintly person and says to him that, is this all true what is spoken? He wanted to verify it with somebody who had absorbed in spiritual life for a long period of time. He goes and asks him, is this all true that what the Shastras are saying, that if you perform penances, that one day you will get a darshan of an apsaras woman or from heavenly planet, some great, some beautiful woman will come and dance with you. So this person told him that to a large extent it is true, it is possible that it can happen. Then he says, oh, then I'll do some penances, he says. So what I'm saying is that austerity and penances to enjoy also does not go away from us very easily. Even that thinking that let me enjoy somehow or the other, because he has no knowledge of the soul. The real enjoyment he hasn't understood from the Shastram what enjoyment means. Enjoyment, he only knows one enjoyment of the senses. So if one grows up in that way and one carries this understanding that enjoyment is only sensual enjoyment, then he has to accept another, and all his austerities and penances will also also like that. It is not going to change. Then therefore what this is what we normally find also in this world, isn't it? When we get older, what do we do? Majority of the people, they try to adjust so many things in the body. Either put a wig or dye the hair. And then if the teeth have started falling away, then take out the whole thing, put a new set of teeth. And if the this thing, or body starts sagging here and there, then you try some facial or some artificial ways of how to keep the body somehow or the other attractive to others. This is the sad thing. Why this has happened? Because he has identified with his body throughout life. Normally, Ramayanam, there is a beautiful story about this. Beauty, in every stage in life, there is a separate beauty for the body. But if you look at the world today, the only beauty is in the youth. There is no beauty anywhere else. Only when you are young, there you are beautiful. Otherwise, you are just to be rejected. Isn't it? Just like if you look at all the advertisements in the television, soap and shampoos and all kinds of things, they'll only bring young people, isn't it? They never bring old people. Nobody wants to see the old people. You see the old people, there's no, they know they won't sell the shampoo. So they will bring all the youngsters, young men, young women. They are the ones. Why? Because this bodily understanding is in us very strongly. They know it. Not that they know they are not the body. They also think the same thing like us, that we are the body. So therefore, the promotion of this bodily identity through the media, through the advertisements, is only done only done for this one reason, that that it will only create this understanding in us, adehastho vina dehasa, that even if you have left the body, still you will think you are this body, because this is how deep it is inside us. It's not easy to wipe out that. So in order to explain this in Ramayana, there is a very beautiful story about this, that Shurpanakha came to see Ramachandra and Lakshmana, isn't it? Shurpanakha came to see Ramachandra and Lakshmana. When Shurpanakha came, Shurpa means the nails. She had long nails, like in the modern day you grow long nails, isn't it, to make it attractive. Some people do that. So Shurpanakha also had long nails. That's how she got the name Shurpanakha. So when Shurpanakha came to see Ramachandra and Lakshmana was there, first she went to Ramachandra. Ramachandra saw Shurpanakha and smiled, seeing all this artificial way she has decorated herself to become attractive. So Ramachandra had to smile. And then Ramachandra told Lakshmana later, did you see all that Shurpanakha has done to make herself attractive? Like Ramachandra didn't find any beauty in that. Ramachandra didn't find any beauty in her. Much later, Ramachandra saw Shabari in the forest. And Shabari belonged to that race of people who lived in the forest, hunters, and she belonged to that community. And her, if you look at her, Shabari's hair was fully white. Shabari's hair was fully white. And her body was already in an old age, has affected her. And Ramachandra says at that point, look at Shabari, how beautiful she is. Why did Ramachandra say like that? Because the beauty in Shabari was that advanced understanding of spiritual life, Krishna consciousness in other words. That beauty Ramachandra could see. Whereas in Shurpanakha there was no beauty, it was all made up, beauty only. It was no attraction for Ramachandra. So Ramachandra says there, look at Shabari and look at her beauty, he says. Although she looked so old and she had no beauty from the mundane eyes, Ramachandra says she is very beautiful. Because that old age also has brought beauty in Shabari. Shabari's devotion and Shabari's dedication in serving Ramachandra has affected Ramachandra. Ramachandra was supreme personality of Godhead. Apart from that, a realized state, he lived in this world. So therefore it says, adehastho vina dehastha, that that if you keep on highlighting the importance of this body all the time, what will happen is that with identification with the body, we will leave this body. That is what will happen. With identifying with the body, we will leave this body. If you keep on highlighting the importance of the body, and therefore we say that these modern ways of identification with the body is the biggest danger, how it affects us. From that thoughts alone, another body will be created. So accordingly, Krishna says, life after life one has to suffer. Distress after distress will follow the jiva because of his identification with the body. So from this we can understand in the coming next few verses also, Krishna will talk in a little different way. But one thing we can understand from all these things, that the before leaving this body, somehow or the other, if we have not wiped out this identification with the body from inside, we should be prepared to suffer more in the next body. Somehow or the other it can happen. So, therefore, the importance of this, Krishna has spoken again and again. So, mainly Krishna talk about that this material body, as we said before, that I am not this body, body is not mine, and body is of no use to us. If this has not developed inside strongly, whatever way you dress up this body, whatever way, if you dress up this body, it will show its true colors at some point or the other. It is at that stage in many people's life that life becomes meaningless for them. As we go through 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, like that, then we don't want to go out anymore because nobody wants to see us anymore. Isn't it? Nobody wants to see an old man. An old man comes, he says, ah, he's an old man. The young man doesn't realize that he's also going to become old one day. He doesn't think, he's an old man. So these thoughts will come. And Krishna is saying there that the life will become also meaningless for that person. Because he didn't know anything else except he is the body. That's what happens. So Krishna's point is, it is such people who have developed this identity with the body so strongly, it will be very hard to switch to the spiritual identity at a later date, unless one has put a lot of effort into that. It can happen any time in life, provided we take it seriously. If we don't take it seriously, it won't happen. That's the point. then he says that, what shall I do in my old age? After retirement, I have nothing else to do. Then he's looking for other goal, for whatever other opportunities are there. Then he's inquiring about all the clubs where he can join, or whatever other enjoyment he can little bit extract from anywhere in this world. They go on doing this, and eventually he has to leave the body in that miserable state. So, dehastho bina dehastha vidvan swapnal yathotida. Adehastho bina dehastha swapnadrik kumati. Adehastho bina dehastha kumati swapnadrik yatha. Kumati, Krishna calls the word kumati. I don't know whether you have thought about this word kumati. Kumati means, mati means intelligence. Mati means intelligence. Kumati means whose intelligence is all, what they say, screwed up. I don't know what other word I can say about that. Whose intelligence is gone in a bad way, in the wrong way. That kind of people. That's what Krishna is saying. Kumati sopnadrik yatha. So, after saying that, now, in the next 3-4 verses, Krishna is talking about something more important. Krishna says here, now when we were discussing this, we have seen before that in 10 verses Krishna is going to talk about the difference between the person who is liberated while within the body and the person who is stuck in the body. I mean, Nityabaddha and Nityamukta. That difference is in 10 verses he is going to speak about it. Now, out of that, the first verse one is what we have seen. Dehastho bina dehastha. In the second verse, he talks about another difference. He is saying here, Indriyair indriyartheshu gunairabiguneshu cha grihyamaneshu aham kuryan vidvanyastavikriyaham aham guryanna vidvanyastavikriyaham. This is important. This has come from Bhagavad Gita actually. Bhagavad Gita also the same thing. Guna guneshu vartande. You will see in the Bhagavad Gita the same thing spoken. Indriyai indriyartheshu gunairabi guneshu cha. One who has come to this understanding that I am not this body, his realizations Krishna is talking about now. One who has come to this understanding. What is that? Indriyai indriyai atheshu. That while senses that are engaged in sense enjoyment, because you cannot close it down straight away, all the senses are acting in contact with the sense objects. So while the senses are busy with the sense objects, and gunai ravi guneshu cha, while the modes of nature inside us is dealing with the modes of nature outside us, isn't it? That's how it works. Suppose we have three modes of nature inside us, in the mind, intelligence and senses. The modes of nature is inside us. This modes of nature is interacting with the modes of nature outside. So indriyai indriyartheshu gunairabhi guneshu cha grihyamaneshu aham kuryal na kuryan na avidvan yastu avikriyam yastu vidvan sa avikriyam. Because he has realized the importance of the soul, and because he has moved away from the body to the soul inside, while this is happening, it doesn't affect him. While this is happening, it doesn't affect him. This is the state of realized state of a person. These are different stages in realizations. While the senses are interacting with the sense objects, while the modes of nature are interacting with the modes of nature outside, the individual soul who is already moved away from the body to the spiritual platform, he is not affected, Krishna says. Guna guneshu vartande, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also. So, yastu vidvan saha avikriyaha, he is saying here that because he is not absorbed in that, although he is doing it with the senses, but he is not in there, in that activity. He has learned to pull out from that. If you remember Kurma Yogam, I don't know whether you remember this in Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, Kurmanganiva Sarvasha. There is a verse which ends with that. Kurmanganiva Sarvasha. That how the tortoise withdraws its senses inwards when there is danger, when it senses danger, and how it protects itself. Similarly, a liberated soul also does the same thing. Liberated soul can be different types of people. Some of them will be very active in the soul, but they are liberated. And some others, they will withdraw from everything and protect themselves from the world, external world, material world. So here we are talking about those who are active in this material world, but they are liberated. But how do they protect themselves? Like given the example of the tortoise in the Bhagavad Gita. That Krishna is saying here, gunai indriyai indriyarteshu, while they are engaged in the sense enjoyment or sensual activities, gunai rabi guneshu cha grihyamanesh aham kuryan vidvanyastha vikriyaha. Then the important thing, how does he do that? When this is happening to him, he knows that he is not the doer. He is not ahamkuriya, grihyamanesh ahamkuriya na vidwan yastavikriya. That he knows that vidwan, he is realized, so he knows he is not the doer. It's a very difficult thing to bring it into practical life, all these things, what Krishna is saying here. But when you see that this is what is the standard Krishna is expecting from us. Not that I have done so much in this world, so much devotional service I have done, where is the result? And if that is the attitude, Krishna says, wait, you are not ready for it, for the result yet. That grihyamanesh ahanguryan navidvan yastavikriyaha, navidvan, that I am not doing it. He is very clear about that inside. Because it is so clear in his head, remember if we discussed this before, every karmam what we execute in this world has got two problems. I am the doer, and I want the result. Without this, nobody wants to do anything in this world. Everyone. I am the doer, first thing, and the result must come. If the result doesn't come, we inquire, why hasn't come? Isn't it? So, we don't just leave it and go. That stage hasn't come so easily. So, we want to have the result, so we say that why the result hasn't come. Then we find out what went wrong this time, so the next time it doesn't happen. So, like this, the attachment to the result, bhalecha, it is called bhalecha, is very strong in us, everyone. So these two things, desire for the ownership and the desire for the results, has gone away from that person. That's what Krishna is saying there. Desire for the results and the doership has gone from him, gone away from him. Therefore, while within this body, Krishna is saying that even if the senses are interacting, he doesn't think he is doing it, that it is done by the senses. Then, therefore, it not emotionally affecting, in other words. His mind is not absorbed in that. He is not affected by the, emotionally affected by the activity, what he is performing. Then Krishna says, Daivadhine sharirasmin gunabhavyena karmana vartamano abudastatra kartasmidi nibhadyade. In the next verse, Krishna is saying here that that Daivadhinam. What is Daivadhinam mean? Daivadhinam mean, Deva means, normally it is understood that Deva means God, isn't it? Krishna. In other words, Ishvara, controller. But here, the word Devam is used in a different way. Devam here means Prarabdham, the Prarabdha Karma. That is what is driving us here. The karma that has followed us in this world. So Krishna say here, Devadhine Sharire Asmin Gunabhavyena Karmana. Then, the ignorant person, Krishna says, while staying within this body, ignorant person, what does he say? He will be very attached to the body and he will be absorbed in the different activities the senses are performing. And he will be thinking that I am the doer, and he will get bound in that process. While discussing these verses, you may think why Krishna is repeating the same thing again and again and again. And you may start wondering, oh, I understood everything. But Krishna is asking, why have you changed that? Why no changes happened? Therefore, he has to repeat this in from different ways. He has to tell us that till that clicks in the in our consciousness, and this happens to us at some point. So, Daivadhine Sharire Asmin Gunabhavyena Karmana Vartamano Abodhastatra Kartasmedi Nibhadhyade. Krishna says here that ignorant person, because of his results that have come from previous activities, purva karma, previous activities, it is from that this body has come. He doesn't know that, why he has got this body, isn't it? That is most of our situation. Why I got this body? We never think about it. Why did I get a body like this, in a particular place, under a particular situation, in a particular country? We don't think about these things. Or a female body, or a male body. We don't inquire all that. We have got such big science talking about going to that planet, this planet, and how many light years it's away from here, how long it will take to get there. Big knowledge they talk about. This question they don't ask. Why did I get this body in a particular way? There is no answer to that. They have no answer for that. So Krishna is telling us something much higher than, before inquiring about all the problems in the other universe, inquire about the problems inside here. That's what Krishna is saying. The problem is here first. Before sorting out the problem which is close to us, we are busy sorting out all the problems in all the universes first. And for that, everybody has to work and pay the taxes for all these kind of things. So, Devadhine Sharire Asmin. Krishna says, Devadhinam. If this one thing is understood, that I got this body due to my own prarabdha karma, that's why I got this body. This particular form, this particular conditions, male or female body, and constantly, in spite of my best efforts to maintain this body, continuously, I have to accept distress in this body, one form or the other. Although sometimes happiness comes for the senses, and a lot of distress also comes in life, still we won't ask this question. This question is never asked, why did I get this particular body? And therefore, in order to make us very fixed in this understanding, Krishna is saying to us, Daivadhine Shairasmin. Daivadhinam. It is the material nature has provided. There is a law behind everything in this creation. Nothing is working in a haphazard way. Everything is controlled very much by Krishna's arrangement. And that law is very firm, and it will not show any mercy on anybody. That is why it is said, Daivadhinam Shairasmin. Sharira, material body, is a result of Prarabdham. There is no question about that. Prarabdham is the cause of this body. And Prarabdham has brought us and continue. In order to finish up this Prarabdha Karmam, we have to live in this body for a particular period of time. People think that, oh, I am become now a devotee. I have been initiated. There is no more karma. I am pure now. Karma has all left me. This is all bogus. Who brought this idea from? I don't know. It is not in the Shastram. All Shastram, whether it is Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, any philosophy if you take, Vedic philosophy says that it is bound by your Prarabdham. You are controlled by Prarabdham. Prarabdham, you cannot escape. That is what this body is, coming from there. And not only in this body, we have to accept this, the understanding that whatever happiness and distress is coming to us, it is already there, decided this will come. And in spite of your best efforts to maintain this body, from somewhere distress will come in some form and give you trouble. And that also you can observe yourself in this life. Then, and Krishna says, Devadhine sharire asmin, guna bhavyena karmana. That karmam is executed, work is happening, different kinds of work we are executing here because of the modes of nature. Vartamano avudastatra kartasmedi nibhadyade. Then, I am still thinking without being conscious of all these things. Avudastatra, he says, kartasmedi nibhadyade. And still he thinks that I am the doer. I am the doer. So these things, the I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and the results must come, these are all our ajnanam or ignorance or what they call avidya. In the Shastram it's referred to as avidya. Then how this thing, what Krishna has spoken here, and how one enjoys this results of his own activity is what Krishna is going to talk about it now. He says here, evam virakta shayanam asanadanam ajjane darshana sparshana ghrana bhojana shravana adishu nathala badyade vidwan tatra tatra dayan gunan prakritastho pyasam sakto yathakam savita anilaha. Evam virakta shayanam asanadanam ajjane. That a person who has realized that he is not this body or he is the soul, if his identity with the soul is clear, then what will happen is, evam virakta shayanam asanadanam ajjane, that whatever he is doing with his senses while he is lying down or while sitting down, while walking, while bathing, while seeing, while touching, while smelling, while eating, while hearing, in all these things, while this is happening, he is a witness there. He is a witness there. He is not doing it. He is just a witness. Actually, to say all these things is very easy, isn't it? But to get this realization into us, it takes time. And that is what spiritual life is centered around. Spiritual life is not something we can overnight acquire like this. That it requires a lot of endeavor from this, and a lot of thoughts must go behind it. In Upanishads and the Bhagavatam, while talking about these things, Krishna is saying there that each and every sense, when you allow that to go out, to engage in a particular activity, the great personalities, they think, which sense is engaged in which activity. They are so conscious of it. That once it so happened that one great acharya was invited by a king to a big festival in one of the royal family's temples. So when he was invited there, he went there. And in the festival, you will see what you see. Festival means sense gratification, isn't it? It offers you everything in bulk. Whatever you want to eat. Prasadam I am eating, so eat as much as I want. And music, if it is from the best musical group, it's much more nice. Again, it's devotional music. So, like this, and if you want to see some movie, there are so many movie opportunities also. So whatever it is, basically senses goes after looking for sense enjoyment. So when they invited this great soul, who had a lot of deeper realizations inside, and on whom many people have seen that he was able to withdraw from this world when he wanted. He was conscious of that. They were conscious of that. So, someone who had no faith in all these things, he went up to him and told him, asked him that, how do you survive in these situations? Because generally, if you are put into a situation where there is family members around you, or your relatives and society, social members around you, most of the time what happens is you become a part of that. Then you say, okay, let me, at the moment I'm busy with this, when I finish I'll go back and chant my rounds or something like that. You'll find. Because you don't know what to do at that time. That won't help in spiritual life, Krishna is saying that a person who wants to free himself from these things, he has to be so alert all the time. All the time. That's why he's saying here, one who has come to that stage, even while though he may do all these things, still he is not doing it. Just like we saw earlier, even though he is within the body, he has left the body. But here it's the other way. Even though he is doing all these things, he is not doing it. People will ask, is this all very crazy, isn't it? Why make life so complicated? Why don't you do what you are doing? And people ask this question. But in spiritual life, this is what spiritual life means. Looking after your spiritual interests. And that is what pleases Krishna. Not all your service to the rest of the world. Krishna may engage some people to do that. But primarily, our responsibility to Krishna is to take this instruction from Krishna and bring it into our own life. Otherwise, it has no meaning. What is the point in Krishna saying all these things? Krishna is saying to us that even while within this world, how to withdraw from the world, not to get driven by the world, in other words. Though evam viraktaha shayanaha asanodana majjani darshana sparshana ghana bhojana shravanadishu. All these are sensual activities, isn't it? Sensual activities. Then Krishna says, na tatha badyade vidvan. A realized soul, tatra tatradayan gunan. He will not be connected by, affected by any of these things. Na tatha badyade. He will not be bound by any of these things. How? Prakritistho bi asamsakto. He is asamsakto. He is not affected by this, any of these things. And he gives the example, what is that? Yathakam savida nilaha. Yathakam savida nilaha. Just like the sky is in touch with everything in this world. Isn't it? Sky is in touch with everything in this world, but sky is not affected. Just like they give the example, if you bring the sky inside a pot, the sky is inside the pot, outside as well. But as long as you break the pot, the sky is the same. There is no difference between the sky inside and outside. Actually, there is no sky inside and outside, it's the same thing. So, just like the sky is inside a pot, outside the pot, as soon as you break the pot, the sky is the same. Sky is not affected by anything. Similarly, the sun. The sun comes in the morning, gives us sunlight. Throughout the day, as much as the sun gives us the sunlight, we can have it. But whatever we do to the sun, it doesn't affect the sun. He's above that. He's able to stay above these things. Although he's interacting with all of us, all the creation. Sun is interacting with all that, isn't it? The living entities, the dead matter, the sea, the mountains, the rivers. There's no place where sunshine doesn't fall. That is desert. Everywhere the sun goes and shows his presence. He associates with everything in this creation, but he is not affected. That is the second example. The first example is the sky. How the sky doesn't get affected by this, how the sun doesn't get affected by it. And the third example is anila, the air. The air, the wind, blows through so many places. Sometimes there is bad places, sometimes good places. But he knows where to capture and leave it and where to take and leave it. But never affected by that, he is still free from everything. That that even though, he says here, even though the sun reflects in the water, although the water, if you move the water, or if the water is polluted, still that pollution of the water or does not affect the purity of the sun. Sun is still free from everything. So, similarly, a realized soul, Krishna says, is like that. Evam virakta shainam asanadanam ajjani darshana sparshana ghrana bhojana shrona adishu natada badyade vidwan tatra tatra den gunan prakritistobi asam sakto yathakam savina anilaham vaisharadye kshaya asangashidaya chinna samshayaha pratibuddhaiva svatna nanatadwal nivartadeyam. Then Krishna says here, a jnani, a realized person, Vaisharadi Buddhi. We spoke about Vaisharadi Buddhi before, isn't it? Vaisharadi Sadi Vishuddha Buddheya. That Vaisharadi Buddhi, what has happened to him? Krishna says that because of that, his this knowledge, because of his deep renunciation in this world, this knowledge is very sharp. In order that the knowledge to remain very sharp in a person, Vairagyam is the one that keeps it very sharp. This is why Jnana Vairagyam goes together. One who is absorbed in sense gratification and one who has studied Shastram, if his sense gratification is also very high, he will find that his knowledge won't come of any use to him at any time. At the time when you need the knowledge, if the knowledge is not there, what's the use of the knowledge? That's Krishna's point. That's why it will say in the earlier in the fourth canto about Jadabharata, when we spoke about Jadabharata said to Rahugana the same thing. If you remember that? That Rahugana asked this question about knowledge, isn't it? So Rahugana when asked this question, Jadabharata, Bharata Maharshi or Bharata Yogeshwara told Rahugana, my dear Rahugana, this knowledge what I have spoken to you, Rahugana got the message from Jadabharata. Jadabharata explained to him that this knowledge is like this, that it will come from the Mahiyaso Padarajobhishekam, that by the mercy of the great realized souls, only realized souls, he makes it very clear, Mahiyasam Padarajobhishekam, by their mercy this knowledge will manifest in you. Already Rahugana was experiencing this from the mercy of Bharata Maharshi. But this knowledge, what you have now feeling realized, if it has to stay in you and if it has to become, it has to be of use to you at some point, then Vairagyam must be there all the time. Vairagyam is just like the sword, you sharpen the sword to be ready for the use at the right time. Similarly, the knowledge which you sharpened with Vairagyam is that one that will give you that strength to use it at the right time in the right way. So, these are very fundamental issues in the discussed in the Bhagavadam, that Jnana Vairagyam, the two things. Bhagavadam talks about three things: devotion, knowledge and renunciation, isn't it? So you can see the connection between the three. Knowledge and renunciation, they go side by side. They are the two children of Bhakti Devi. So proper devotion, bhakti, means these two things will be present in that person: knowledge and renunciation. So when there is knowledge, in order that knowledge should work at the right time when you need it, that's when you need the knowledge. You need the knowledge at the right time in this life, and also when you move away from this body to another body. In order that to happen, Krishna says, renunciation is absolutely necessary. Vairagyam. That's what he's saying here. Vaisharadhyakshaya asangashidaya chinna samshayaha. Asangasishidaya, that because of the Vairagyam, through Vairagyam he has sharpened this knife of knowledge, and with this sword of knowledge he can cut through all the doubts all the time. As and when doubts are coming up inside his mind, he will cut through that doubts through the power of knowledge. Most of us who are in the beginning of our spiritual life, at least we have started recognizing to some degree that there is a thing called soul, and at least to some degree we see that there is a need to develop spiritual life. So for such people, Krishna says here that doubts will come. Throughout life, doubts will come, one form or the other. Am I doing the right thing? Am I wasting my time? This is very important, isn't it? Who doesn't get that doubt? Everybody gets that doubt. And then for some time, you may stop everything, all the spiritual activities, because you are not sure whether if I go on like this, what will happen to me? Who will feed me? Who will feed my family? So I'll go back to work again and I'll do so many other things. All these different mind you can bring you so many new thoughts all the time and make us think that is this what I'm doing is the right thing or not. These are different stages in spiritual life. Jnanis calls it by different names, Padartha, Bhavana. There are so many things mentioned. So Krishna says that in order that these doubts go and don't disturb you too much, the only thing you can fight the doubt with is knowledge. Without the knowledge, you can't fight the doubt, what comes in. So, in order that the knowledge has to work at the right time when you need it, vairagyam is a must. Renunciation is a must. We have somehow developed some understanding that, let it go like this for some time. We'll see at the old age. When I get some results, I will give up all these things. So different thoughts. This is also another aspect of that avidya coming up in another way. That hesitation or resistance to act, to accept what Krishna has spoken is coming from inside. That's why vidya and avidya are both coming from Krishna. Vidya, avidya, surudini. Both vidya and avidya is coming from Krishna. So whenever that such a thought comes, immediately the knowledge from the Shastram should override and make us fixed in that understanding that no, I don't have to give up. Spiritual life is the most reality. Material life is not the reality. That thought has to establish ourselves. Krishna is saying here that pratibuddha iva swapna nanatva vinivartate. Then he will immediately, as soon as he wakes up from the dream state and he comes to the awakened state, he will immediately able to come out of this material existence to the spiritual existence. He'll be able to move easily from material existence to spiritual existence. Actually, if you observe your own mind during the day, most of us don't have time for that, so we don't observe also. We just go on doing day after day after day. Doing is the whole thing. We never think, I've done so much, it's never coming to an end. And what had I gained from all this doing so much? So this doing goes on. And one day when we get time, if you think and think about this, then is everything happening based on my doing? Not necessarily, isn't it? Yes, we have done so many things, but sometimes the results were coming in different ways. So here he says, nanatval vinivartade, that dvaita prapancham, that this material existence or the material world, what is dragging us outside all the time from the vision from inside. In the Upanishads, these things are spoken much more in a attractive way. There, it is said that Krishna created this body for us and gave us these windows called the senses. And the senses only goes outward. It doesn't go inward, isn't it? It's always looking for outside. Then what did he do? He got inside us and sat there. And then he's telling us to look inwards. He gave us these windows, which are the senses. And the Paranchigani, in the Kathopanishad this comes. That senses are all outwardly looking. Isn't it? All the senses are outwardly. Like tongue is telling, first class pizza or samosas. Or sweet rice, whatever. And the nose is telling us best things to smell, where it's looking for. So everything, all the business, eyes are looking for sense gratification, television or whatever, football or whatever that it wants to have. So is there anything, any of these senses looking inside? Senses doesn't want to turn, this windows opens only outwards, it doesn't open inwards. This is the problem. So what happens is, Krishna says there, that when ignorant person He will open these windows. So therefore what will happen is, immediately once the windows are open, the mind comes right away. It is from there everything has started. The whole business started from there. Because he is the one who is pushing these windows. He is opening the windows all the time. The mind gets ready in the morning as soon as we wake up and starts opening all the windows for the fresh air to come in from outside like we do. So the fresh air starts coming and we get busy with the fresh air then on. There is never any looking inwards. So this Upanishad is saying, what a difficult thing you have created in for us. You created this body and then gave us these windows which opens outwardly. And then you got inside us as Kshetrajna, Krishna is present inside. And he is telling us in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, now you look inwards. What difficult situation this is. If you read Tanupanishad, you will see this statement. So, he says here, Vaisharadhyaksha asangashidaya chinna samshayaha, that you may have your best understanding of material life, but when it comes to spiritual life, we have no option except to take Shastram seriously. We have no other option. All this show in the world will go on. There will be so many great spiritualists and personalities will come here. You can distinguish them by observing them, their activities. Is it based on this understanding, what Krishna is saying here? If they are also promoting sense enjoyment and their glories, you can take it. They are not going to get very far. It will come to a dead stop one point. Because Shastram is very clear and straightforward about these things. That the mind and the senses, which has gone for day after day after day externally looking for gratification, if it does not stop that gratification and turn inwards to Krishna, who is present inside as the super soul and the conditioned soul, both are Krishna's part and parcel, are present inside. It is there you have to search for him, not in any other place. There is no point in going and looking for him in other places when he is so closely present inside. But unfortunately, because we have trained our mind in such a way that we cannot function without the mind, so we keep on saying mind wants sense enjoyment. So we, as they call in the most advanced spiritual technology, it's called the dovetailing starts. So when the dovetailing starts, that when we become use it to our best advantage with the dovetailing, that we don't want to see that the reality is inside. Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about this point very strongly. That bhakti that has been cultivated without realizing Krishna's presence within, or other living entities also, that bhakti won't stay very long. That's why, if you remember, when we discussed in the three kinds of devotees, when we talked about, I think it was Hari Maharshi, he said that, isn't it? He says, what is the first class devotee? First class devotee, if you look at the qualities of a first class devotee, second class devotee and a third class devotee, this has to be repeated again and again, because otherwise we are so fixed in the third class platform, we will never go to the first class, because you'll say it's the cheapest ticket. We'll buy that. So if you look into the chapter in the Ekadasham, earlier we talked about this, that the Kavi Maharshi was talking to Nimi Maharshi, King Nimi. He was saying here that symptoms of a devotee, that was the question that was asked, symptoms of a devotee. So when symptoms of a devotee was asked, he said there that Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyel, it is in chapter 2nd, verse 45, Hari said, Sarvabhudeshu yapashyel bhagavad bhavam atmanam bhudhani bhagavatyatma esha bhagavadottamaha. First class devotee, he says, is that person, ye atmana bhagavad bhavam sarvabhudeshu, one who sees Krishna inside himself and other living entities. He is the first class devotee. He is the first class devotee. One who recognizes Krishna's presence in every living entity, he is the first class devotee. But what is the majority people in the society, what do they think? I'm sure I don't have to say. One who is doing the deity worship is the most advanced one. And especially if you are head pujari, you are the highly advanced person. This is in our whole community, it is like this. The whole Hindu community, this goes on. This foolishness. This is not what philosophy Krishna has given us. Deity worship is there, but this is how the priests have taken advantage in this world. Many times if you look into the history, because generally most of the people go to the temple to get rid of some distress inside. When he goes there, he meets the pujari first. He gets introduced to the pujari. And he thinks, oh, he's closest to the deity. So he must be more advanced than me. So whatever he says, deity will listen. So then he gives all sorts of commitments and offerings at the temple, thinking that I am going to be saved. And he will request the pujari, please say this to Krishna for my sake. And the bribing starts there at that time. So this way the whole society, this is happening. But this is not in the Shastram. This, in Shastram, this is considered to be the third class type of spiritual life. Third class. It's mentioned like that. If you look into the same, I'm not saying anything, something of my own. It's there in the Bhagavatam. Second, sarva bhudesha yapashel bhagavad bhavama alpana bhudani bhagavat yalpa yasha bhagavadottama. First class devotee, Krishna is, Hari Maharshi is saying there, that sarva bhudesha yapashel. When he recognizes Krishna's presence in every living entity, Bhagavad Bhavam, seeing that it is because of Krishna's presence that living entity is functioning in this world. Otherwise that body has no value. Because Krishna is inside there. If this understanding comes, Bhudani Bhagavat Yalpa Esha Bhagavad Ottamaha, then seeing Krishna in every living entity, two things there. Seeing Krishna in every living entity and every living entity in Krishna. Both things. What does that mean? What means is that every living entity is functioning in this world because of Krishna's presence. Because of Krishna's presence there as the living entity, as the soul present in there. And soul can only function because Krishna is behind it. So it is Krishna who is actually functioning through that living entity. In other words, what we should be seeing there is also Krishna there, in that living entity. That is of course a very highly perfected platform. Highly perfected platform it is. And it is not easy to get to that stage of realization. Normally, through our dealings in this world, we will develop ragam and dvesham, isn't it? Attachment and aversion. Just like I may like someone and I may don't like somebody else. As soon as you like someone, there is attachment. As soon as you hate somebody, there is aversion. So ragam and dvesham will be there inside. And this is the reason Krishna spoke about this Ekadasham later, that these two things one should avoid from the beginning, not to develop this attachment and aversion to other living entities. Later on in the Krishna says about that Vishwan, in this world there is only soul, nothing else. The soul, Krishna. There is only Krishna present in this world. But it appears to us in our conditioned state in the form of so many living entities, so many material creation and so many different things. It's manifesting like that to us in our state of ignorance. But when we have freed ourselves from that state, we'll come to the proper understanding that it is the soul that is driving this whole creation. That is the status of a pure devotee or a pure jnani who has come to that stage. That is rare personalities, great souls come and they go. But here, after talking about the first class devotee, Krishna gave us an idea of the second class devotee also. Ishvaretada dineshu balisheshu dishal sucha pramamaitri kribo obeksha yakkarodisamadhyamam. That Ishvare tadadhineshu balisheshu dushat sucha. His dealing with the world is on a slightly different level. He is not reached that state yet. But he is somewhere in the middle. What is that middle stage? Middle stage is like this. Those who are devotees, he will make friendship with them. Not based on the tilak and kurta and all that, but we will see that person's consciousness. What kind of person is he? Does he accept Krishna's words in his life? And is he trying to live accordingly? Ishvareta dadineshu balisheshu dishal sucha. And he will differentiate the people according to his understanding. In other words, The four kind, prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha. Four different things Krishna is talking about. Prema means he will develop relationship, friendship, love for Krishna. And friendship with the devotees. And maitri, kripa. Kripa means mercy, or he will show his compassion to those who are actually ignorant. Who are actually ignorant. To them he will show compassion. And those who are envious, he will completely avoid them. Upeksha. So, a second class devotee, he distinguishes between people while dealing in this world. A first class devotee, he has gone above that. He has started seeing Krishna's presence in everything. So for him, this differentiation is not necessary anymore. It is not necessary because no matter what happens in this world, he won't be disturbed. Ragam and dvesham won't build up inside him. So he will not worry about the consequences, in other words. The consequences won't bother him. He will simply able to deal with any situation unaffected by anything. That is the Uttamadhigari or the pure devotee stage. The Madhyamadhigari or the devotee who is in the second category is that one who by differentiation he is trying to deal with the world. By differentiation means premam, maitri, kripa, upeksha. That means he sees Krishna's attachment to Krishna is strong in him. He recognizes that Krishna consciousness is important and he will try to develop Krishna consciousness all the time. Madhyamadhigari stage. Then he also has maitri, friendship to those who are similarly, ideally like-minded people. He will have developed that nature. He will analyze each and every person, not by the dress, but by the consciousness. In other words, you know, you can study people when you talk to them and by their understanding, you can see what kind of person they are. Sometimes you may see spiritual life is such a beautiful life, it always makes you a judge to see through things. Premam, maitri, kripa, upeksha. So carefully he judges to whom to associate with and whom not to associate with. He makes that distinction clearly. Because he knows that I need Krishna consciousness for my development in spiritual life, so he is cautious. Maitri. Then there are many people in this world who are not interested in spiritual life but at the same time helplessly wandering through their prarabdha karma, experiencing happiness and distress and so on. So with such people, he shows compassion to them and if gets an opportunity, speaks to them about Krishna, if that opportunity is right, and tries to bring them to Krishna consciousness, but he does not take that as everything. Kripa, that is mercy. Then the last one, he is extremely cautious because they are dangerous people. Because they can pull you down anytime. So to them, they are envious, in other words. Envious is a powerful word used, but upeksha, he says. Upeksha means we just keep away from them. Their association won't help in spiritual life. So Madhyamadhyayi, or in the middle level, a devotee thinks in like this. And then, to clarify a little bit more, Krishna talk, Hari Maharshi says here, the last category, or Krishna refers to here is Archaya meva haraye pujamya shraddhaye hade nadat bhakteshu janyeshu sabhakta prakrita spradaha. If you think through these words carefully and if you keep looking at your own surroundings and judge, then you will understand how perfect these definitions are. Perfect these definitions are. It is very sad, but that's how it is. That archayam eva haraye pujayam shraddhaye hare. They will be very dedicated to deity worship. Very dedicated to deity worship. Deity worship will be their only priority in life. Nothing else. Deity is looking after me, others can go to hell. This is the understanding. And with others, they will deal also in the same way. Their dealing will also be in the same way. Archayam eva haraye. Then pujayam shraddhaye hare. They will spend a lot of money for puja. Puja will be the topmost priority. And will, all the gold in the world, all the wealth in the world will be brought to worship the deity. And you have to tell the whole world how much I have given to the deity. The world should know how much I have served the deity. So Krishna stands there and says, alright, you can stay in the third class forever. Because this is what you want. you are not willing to recognize about my presence in any other living entity. You are always playing politics with others. So you stay here and worship me. A time will come when you will come to the second stage. But right now, Krishna's words are, Purnaradbhakteshu chanyeshu. Because his faith is only in the deity, not in the other living entities. Other living entities. Nathadbhakteshu chanyeshu sabhaksa bhakta prakrita smridaha. That bhakta, that devotee, Krishna says he is also a bhakta, but he is prakritam. Prakritam means very, how do you call it, prakritam? Prakritam is very coarse, isn't it? Not fine. Very, very much in the beginning stage. He hasn't gone very far. He's just started. Now, this Krishna has spoken, here Hari Maharshi has spoken. If you go into third canto, Kapila Maharshi also talks to Devahuti Devi about different types of bhakti, isn't it? Sattvam, Rajas, there the classification is a different way. They are based on the three gunas. The person who is in the mode of goodness, what kind of devotee he is, mood of goodness, and the second class devotee in the mood of passion, and the third class devotee in the mood of ignorance. But if you look at the features of the devotees, whether it is in the third canto or in the 11th canto, there is no difference. That's exactly the same. The third class devotee in the mood of ignorance, the second class devotee in the mood of passion, and in the first class devotee in the mood of goodness. So, like the similarities are there, but spoken in two different ways in the Bhagavadam. That's all. And third canto, Kapila Maharshi was instructing Devahuti Devi. So he spoke in one way. And in the 11th canto, Hari Maharshi is instructing Nimi. So he spoke in a little bit more, in a different way. So, Srimad Bhagavadam is telling us that to open our eyes and see things properly. Otherwise, if everything is based on deity worship, and if everything is based on our understanding of the deity worship, and without any understanding of the philosophy means the facts what Krishna has spoken, we will remain in ignorance for whole life. We won't move very far. That's what Krishna is saying here. Then all these verses are very, very important. That senses comes into contact with sense objects. The three modes of material nature, they associate with the modes of nature. While all this is happening, the person who is in the realized state, he does not come into contact with that. That one has to come out of this slowly. It is not possible to do this overnight or instantaneously. It's not possible. How this is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita a little bit more, how one can withdraw oneself from the world outside. That as Krishna said before, Devadhina Sharirasmin, this material body is a projection of our prarabdha karma. That's what you have to remember. This material body in this particular form what we have today is nothing but a projection of our prarabdha karma. So, Krishna's point is this, why he was saying this was that no matter how much you try to change that situation, you can't do very much about it because you got the body. And the body will go in its own way. Throughout life, if you observe your own body, you will see, I did not want the body to get old, but do I have any control on that? Body does it on its own way, it gets old. When I was a little boy, wanted to play all the time, but after a while I started realizing that you have got so many things to do in this world, the responsibility feeling started coming. So all that things you enjoyed while you were playing like a little boy, that enjoyment has not become enjoyment. The happiness in that enjoyment has gone away, disappeared suddenly. So at every stage in life, if you keep observing your own body, you can see that the happiness you were receiving at different stages were different. The happiness that you got when you were a little boy or a young man is not anymore a happiness for you at the old age. Isn't it? At the old age, the happiness is something different. The happiness in the youth is different. Happiness as a boy is different. Or a girl is different. So, Devadhina Sharirasmin. The law is working its own way, and its own law is following the material nature, is arranged everything in a proper way. Similarly, I have no control on the body as far as my mind is concerned either. Is everything happening in the mind according to my desire? Do I have any control on my own mind? I don't have any control on my mind. I'm fighting against the mind all the time to get it under control, but it never gets under control. It keeps on bringing new ideas and new thoughts and disturbs us. Mind is nothing but the thoughts flowing continuously in a disturbed condition. That is what mind means. So these disturbances inside is what is known as chittavritti, and that is what we call as mind. Continuous flow of thoughts coming without asking for. If I tell the mind, please stop for a minute, let me take some rest from you, he's not going to let me go. He will continuously pump much more at that time, more powerfully than before. So I have no control on my body, I have no control on my mind. Do I have any control on my intelligence? The so-called intelligence, you realize sometimes how stupid you were after 10 years when you thought about it. That how stupid you were with your so-called intelligence. Sometimes when somebody who claims themselves very intelligent, and they manage to get all degrees from all over the universities and everything, and everybody's telling, oh, he's very intelligent and all. Suddenly he gets a kick from somewhere. Then he starts thinking, I was so intelligent, everybody was telling me, why did this happen to me? So there, where was intelligence then? That's what Krishna is saying here. That don't think that the body is under your control. Don't think the mind is under your control. Don't think the intelligence is under your control. Unfortunately, the modern education doesn't teach us these things. It teaches something different. It says everything is under your control. It tells us. So Krishna's point is here that slowly, even the modern science is coming to this understanding. That is why this genetic engineering is developing in that. And now they are saying a lot of things are already there in the genes written. Slowly they are realizing this, that there is something else behind all these things. Because now they are saying that a criminal, when they analyze their genes, they found that this criminal tendency was in him. Or so many things like that. But what do? We want to take credit of everything, isn't it? So we don't recognize these things, but Krishna is opening up our eyes. For example, you will see sometimes sportsmen or musicians who have got some great talent in sports or music or any such thing, art, for example. We take it, oh, he's amazing, isn't it? But the sportsman himself don't know where he got the talent from. That is what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita very clearly, isn't it? That yadvibhudimal sattvam mamatejam shasambhavam. Wherever you see anything in this world, any spark of any brilliance, of anything, remember it's coming from me. But what do? We think, oh, he's amazing, he can sing so well. In fact, the musicians, many learned, intelligent musicians, if you ask them, how did you get to this stage? They say, we don't know. Because this talent has followed them from previous life. That's their prarabdham has come in that way. Some good prarabdham for them, it comes in the form of music. Similarly, some sportsmen, for them, this talent for sporting activities, that came as a prarabdham for them. In other words, what Krishna is saying here is that your so-called talents and capabilities and abilities and all is nothing but me that is presenting through that body. If you see that, Krishna says, what should you recognize actually? We should be appreciating Krishna. Not these, all the talent that has come from Krishna. Krishna's presence in that person. Mama tejomsha sambhavam. It is my tejas, Krishna says, that's what's in coming out there. In the Bhagavad Gita you will see this verse. So, similarly, Krishna is saying here that body is not under your control. That is the first thing. Body is not under our control. We have to keep repeating this. Why? Because if we repeat it for 40, 50 years, at least we will start realizing that it's not under our control. So when we get into trouble with the body, at least you will take some solace in there, that body. Otherwise what we will do, we'll look for much more sophisticated arrangements to protect the body. Isn't it? So, but if this fundamentals of life, what Krishna is talking about, body is not under our control. Just like, say for example, somebody has rented a house from you. You have rented a house to somebody. Now, after some time, that person is not paying the rent. He's giving you trouble. So, I don't know what they do here, but in India what they do is cut the supply, electricity first. Then cut the water supply. Two, three things, if you do that, the message will get through clearly to the tenant. The landlord will send the message. That his way of sending the message is like that, because he says there's no point in going to the police and court, that all takes too much time. But the easiest way to do that is cut the water supply, cut the electricity, two things. So similarly, Krishna is giving us different signals to us. And that is what all these changes that's happening in the body. First he sends the letter saying us, and that is hair starts growing grey. That be prepared for the next. Krishna is saying to us. Then he sends us a telegram or a fax. He sends to us, saying to us that you can't eat anymore as much as you did before. If you eat too much, you will get sick. That doesn't get digested. The body doesn't properly digest the food. Or some other problems in the body starts building up. So Krishna starts putting restrictions on us in different ways, isn't it? And then nothing is working, he sends an email straight away, the last thing. Because it's instantaneous, isn't it? It gets to you. Then he phones you at the last minute if nothing works. So all these things Krishna is doing to us in our life. Krishna is doing this to us. Every time he is doing this to us. And every time we get the message, we ignore the message. Isn't it? We ignore the message. What do? We find an alternative. How to get over the problems. So then we make other inquiries. So it is then that Krishna takes some other approach then. He says, well, I've given you the message, you're not taking it seriously. So then the different things, blood pressure, first thing. Oh. So at least you will become a little cautious now. Then they'll say, I got pressure now, I can't do like before. If that's not happened, the next thing, what will happen? Oh, yes, okay, at least there's nothing restricts me from eating what I want. So he says, have some diabetes, enjoy, put some restriction there. So these are things by material arrangement that to control us, to keep us under control. We are experiencing this, all of us, in one way or the other. It's coming to us. But we are not accepting these things. We are again trying to work against us. And this is, Krishna is saying, is foolishness. A spiritually advanced person, he will not go all the way out to look after his body. If it is doing that, then what's the difference between him and his understanding? If he has understood exactly like a karmi, who is thinking that I am this body, and if he is acting in the same way throughout his life, if you look into all the great personalities, you will find this difference. Who are jnanis, who are realized, great devotees who are realized, they will not come down to the bodily level to maintain this body, to like the ordinary mundane persons do. Because they know the value of because they have accepted Krishna's instructions wholeheartedly. They have realized it, that body is prarabdham. So therefore they don't have any doubts over this. That's what Krishna is saying here. one person said that I looked after the body very well. Everything was going on. BP is under control. Sugar is under control. Everything is under control. But then suddenly what happened to him? Krishna gave another message. One day somehow he fell and made a fracture. Both hands got fractured or legs got fractured. So then he starts thinking, how can I fix that now? So except this fixing business, what else are we doing in this body? From beginning to end, except this fixing, it's only fixing, but nothing never gets the problem resolved any time. We'll fix one, and then fix another one, we'll fix something else. Like this, throughout life we keep on fixing, and one day, whole thing collapses, which can never be fixed anymore. This is the final stage for release. So Krishna is saying here, guna bhavyena karmana, that he has understanding that instead of thinking this I am this body is mine and I have control on this body, Krishna says here that he will only, what will happen to him is he will get bound by that. He will only get bound by that. That on the other hand, evam viraktaha, one who is became, one who has become detached to this body, we are now talking about those who have freed themselves from the bodily concept of life, as I mentioned before. That's why Krishna is saying like this, those who are released from the bodily concept of life, what they will do, that they will never identify with the body even while engaged in the activities in this body. They have done one thing. What did they do? They have understood that this body is Krishna's body. This body is Krishna's body. Krishna has given this body and they have surrendered the body to Krishna. That's what they have done. Actually, there is not much difference between a jnani and a bhakta. The jnani goes through the process of atma-vijaram. Atma-vijaram means thinking about the soul. He comes to the same understanding. A devotee also comes to the same understanding at the end. Devotee surrenders the body to Krishna outrightly, thinking that, because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna says there, in the, I think it is the 13th chapter, Krishna says there, prakritim purusham jaiva kshetram kshetratnyam eva cha, isn't it? Prakriti and Purusha, kshetram and kshetratnya. Kshetram is this body. Normally we say kshetram means temple, but Krishna's, Bhagavad Gita's definition of kshetram is this body. That is why this body is considered to be a temple. And in this temple, the deity is Krishna inside. Kshetratnya is me. Kshetratnyam chapi mam vidhi. Sarva kshetreshu bharada. Krishna says, the kshetratnya, who is present in every body, situated as the soul inside, that's me. Krishna says, kshetratnyam chapi mam vidhi. Know that it's me. Sarva kshetreshu bharada. In all the kshetram, means all the bodies, it's me who is present in there. So a devotee, knowing very well that in this temple he is the deity, or Krishna is present inside, and this body belongs to him, and he offers the body to him and simply surrenders to him. That is devotee's approach. Jnani's approach is, he constantly, by remembering this, in this understanding, that body belongs, I am not this body. He establishes that within himself. I am not this body. Body belongs to Krishna. That Krishna's body it is. He gets himself established in that. So there is very little difference in the end result of a jnani and a bhakta. Both come to the same understanding that the body belongs to Krishna. And he hands over, the devotee hands over the body, that, and at the end, at the end, what happens? That when he loses the body, he doesn't regret about it. Krishna has given the body, Krishna has taken it back. In this understanding, he will leave the body. Therefore, he doesn't regret. Whereas those who have identified with the body whole life, they don't want to hand it over back to Krishna even while leaving the body. Even there, they are thinking, is there any way I can get it back to it? Get back that body again. So, what from all these explanations, what we have to understand is this, that the law, what Krishna has set up, is very stringent. As far as the body is concerned, mind is concerned, intelligence is concerned, senses is concerned, everything. It's already known. The law is very clear. There is no concession on all these things. It is true for us, it's true for President Obama, it's true for Manmohan Singh, it's true for Gordon Brown, anyone. Doesn't matter who it is. The law is law. That is Krishna's law. And law will take its own course. So intelligent thing is to accept that what Krishna is saying here, that this is what's going to happen. Don't get to get distracted by all the other propaganda in this world. Krishna's point is like that. So therefore, when we come to understand and accept, accept means absorbs in our own life completely, wholeheartedly, then you can say we have become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, we have not become Krishna conscious. We are all simply theories there in the book. We are doing what we want. And we will go on doing this for life after life. But accepting Krishna's words, instruction, understanding it and completely accepting it in our own life, that is a success of spiritual life. So here, Krishna is saying here that what forces to think that this body is mine? This is also another question, isn't it? Why did this happen like this? This understanding that I am this body and this body is mine, how did this come? This is where analysis is required. Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads are talking to us to think all these things seriously. Many discussions in the Upanishads are centered around this. How did this understanding come? Then the answer is given that as soon as the avidya, the ignorance is there in a person, and that ignorance has that caused the false ego, ahankaram inside, from there all these problems have started. So go back to the root again. That is what the Shastras are saying. Go back to the root. Where did this originate from? It originated from the false ego. So this false ego, which has developed in this form of this false ego, when it expands, that expands into mind, expands to intelligence, expands to senses, and eventually expands in the form of this gross body. So gross body, senses, intelligence, mind, they are all coming from the false ego. That is why if you look into the third canto, when the creation process was discussed, do you remember the creation process in the third canto? You will see ahankaram was spoken first. Mahatvatvam ahankaram, it says. Mahatvatvam ahankaram has come. So ahankaram or false ego is the origin. From there all this has come. So if you go back in the same, it has come down. If you go back to the same source, you will see all this has to dissolve at some point or the other. The body has to go, the senses has to go, intelligence has to go, mind has to go, and eventually when the false ego goes, the ignorance goes away, and along with that the knowledge comes in. So here this issue is the one what is debated and what is discussed among the great devotees and jnanis. All the great acharyas and Vedavyasa Maharshi, what were they discussing? They were discussing this same topic. How does the soul move from one body to another? What is happening to the soul while within the body? These are their topics for discussion. This is the most critical question. In fact, if you read many of the great devotees and great acharyas, and if you follow their life through, you will see that they all have only one message to tell us, that don't fall into this trap of this body and waste all your lifetime in analyzing this body. Body is only a very gross manifestation of our ignorance that is there, turned into this body. And the more it becomes subtle and subtle and more subtle, you leave this gross elements one after the other. Just like that gross understanding came to us and we have fallen to this gross condition, once that leave us, this gross elements also will leave us. The body will go, the mind will go, the intelligence will go, senses will go, and the false ego will also eventually go. In the that's what an explanation is talking about. That once the realized soul, what does he know? He knows that I'm not this body, that and this body is not mine. The material nature is running this body. I'm not running this body. You may take ownership for many things, but if you start taking ownership for your own body, your own mind, your own intelligence, you're going to be defeated one day. It's not going to work. And many times when we get illnesses and sicknesses and all that, we think that by our arrangement, we can escape from the situation. There's so many examples on all these things. Has animals, birds and all that, have got NHS? Have they got NHS? We have such elaborate arrangements for this body to look after, isn't it? That we think we take shelter in Bhupa, NHS and so many other things. But think about all the other living entities. Krishna is present in them also. If you observe them very clearly, okay, we have created an NHS for them. That is the vets and all other things. But they themselves didn't create any NHS. So we have artificially created thinking that, oh, they are suffering. And when you see them suffering too much, we say, oh, let's put them to sleep. This is the solution to all the problems, putting them to sleep. For which we have found out the best answer. All this is our brain. But in Krishna's arrangement, that so many birds, so many animals and so many beasts living in this world, they are not all under our control, isn't it? We may have some pets at home to whom we are attached to duty or sense gratification. Otherwise, we haven't got control on all the other living entities. And if you look into the forest and all that, you will see there are so many animals, they don't have any facility for any treatment, but they get sick and they get cured. How does that happen? How does that happen? Now, they are not keeping a graph of their mortality rate like we do, or they keep a sort of accounts and, the people are not dying, so the pension age we have to raise. And they don't have all these kind of problems. These problems are only in us, nowhere else. We only have this kind of problem. Our problems we create, and then we don't know how to solve the problem, and then we are busy with the problem whole life. Isn't it? Have you seen animals worrying about their pensions? Have you seen animals worrying about the stock market? Or have you seen any other animals worrying about their medical facilities? They're also living. They also got a gross body like us. And when the body drops, they goes away. They go away from this world without any vast, elaborate arrangements like we do. Krishna's question is this, that if you are not even coming to that level of animals, that means our bodily concept is much more stronger even than the animals in that sense. That we have fallen to such levels that not only thinking that I am this body, I'm making such elaborate arrangements to protect this body, but Krishna says it won't work. One day, like the house man, the tenant who has rented the house, Krishna will take the house out of us. Krishna is the landlord and we are the tenant. So the landlord has every right, as far as this house is concerned, when to pull the shutter. Or when to pull us out from that. And that's why in stages he gives us, you're not done what you're supposed to do, you're not paid the rent, so sending you the first signal. And then the life goes on in that way. So dehastho vina dehastha. So one who wants to free oneself from this body, one has to take note of all these things. That is Krishna's point. Na badyade. That because he is not the jnani or the devotee who is realized, he is not bound by this body, he is not affected by this. Because he has already accepted this truth, that this body is not mine. This body belongs to Krishna. So this is what in spiritual life one should be cultivating about, this understanding of these things. It's not that I come to spiritual life now because I am a devotee now, I should have all the best in this world. Bhupa, foreign holidays, everything I should have because I am a devotee. I should have everything the best in this world. If I take that approach, I don't know what I have understood about spiritual life then. So, asanga sharinam vinivartade, Krishna says, that there is only one truth, Krishna says, that constantly reflecting on this and developing one spiritual identity, Krishna gives a lot of importance to it in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the most important thing, developing that spiritual identity. How to free oneself from this body. Chinna samshayaha. Krishna says, by your sharp intelligence, you should reflect over it, ponder over it again and again and again, and get yourself established in this position. Then, nanatval vinivartade. Then, one who free oneself from the nanatvam. Nanatvam means this variegatedness in this material world. That is what is distracting us from the reality, from the truth. Truth is the soul. But what is distracting us from the soul is this variegatedness of the material world, the dead matter. And the matter present in us in different forms, different names, and everything, we get attracted by that and our mind and senses goes after that. So, while talking about this, Krishna wanted to say something very important. That we have discussed this before also, and this example was also given before, but it is worthwhile mentioning that again here. Krishna talked about that in a realized state, a person, how he moves in this world. More or less the comparison was, he was saying there, because his attachment to the body has gone, you can say more or less, he is like a person who is intoxicated, who is drunk, isn't it? Who is drunk. So, to give you an example, once it so happened that there was one sannyasi who has for a very long time he practiced spiritual life, he followed all the regulative principles of sannyasam, studied shastram very well, and always fixed up in knowledge, always fixed up in knowledge, not interested in the bodily identity. He was feeling this need that the realization is not complete. This will come. That time and again we may, through our intelligence and through our discretion, we will be able in different situations to deal with in this world, with this body. But at critical times, sometimes we may fail in that. Because mind is also like that, isn't it? Mind can sometimes push us down to that level. So, unless we are a surrendered devotee, depends on the surrender, to what degree we have surrendered to Krishna. If one is surrendered to Krishna completely and he has deeper understanding inside, then nothing will disturb him in his any situation. But practically what you can see is that as we are making little progress in spiritual life, more and more crisis builds up in life. At some point you may fail also in dealing with the situation because of our weak realizations and weak mind. And we are not able to recognize the fact that surrender or sharanagati is not complete to Krishna. And on the other hand, the Atma Vijayam or the analysis of the soul also not happened very well inside. The two things. Surrender to Krishna has not happened well. Neither reflected on the soul very much. Either of them. Both has not been done well. But some vague idea is inside that I am not this body. And have some degree of surrender also there to Krishna. That at least we chant the holy name, we take prasadam, we don't engage in too many sinful activities. To some degree. But on the other hand, attachment to the body hasn't gone away. It's also very deep rooted inside. In these conditions, when the realizations are not complete, it's a very difficult stage. Because that is a testing time. Just like they say, two kinds of people are very happy in this world, isn't it? You know that. There are two kinds of people who are very happy in this world. One who is thinking, I am this body. He has no problems in this world. Because he knows, he will maintain his body at any cost. Whatever necessary, he will spend the money and use the best available things in this world. And if you tell him that, why you are doing like this, he says, so you need body for your devotional service, don't you? He will ask that question. He won't be interested in any devotional service. All he is interested in is his body. But because you have asked this question, he will say to you, oh, you need this body for Krishna's sake, you need it, he says. He doesn't know that there's a higher law working behind it. He's going to change the law as though he thinks that he can change it. Whatever it is, that kind of people who are completely absorbed in the body, they are happy in this world. Then there are people who are completely liberated, who have come to that Jivanmukta state, fully liberated state, they are also happy because for them body doesn't exist anymore. It's finished with that. It is us, neither that nor this, in between floating. From, if you give marks from 0 to 10, which place are you? They ask this question, isn't it? How much would you give? 1, 2, 3, 4, like that up to 10, anything, whatever it is. So those who are in this state, they are the ones suffering in this world, isn't it? So our sannyasi has not reached 10 yet. He has gone very high, probably 8 or 9 he has reached. So once it so happened, two people came to this sannyasi and told the sannyasi like this. He said that, what should we do with this body? He said. They said to him, what should we do with this body? We try very hard, but nothing has worked. And they have probably analyzed about this body enough in their mind. But when the crunch came, they couldn't survive. They were beaten. So they realized that this body has a higher control over them than they had the control on the body. All these things, it's easy to sit and discuss, but when it comes to practical life, we know what it's like. As soon as we get a little disturbance in the body, our spiritual life is finished, material life is finished, just lying there looking for the solution. So this is our actual state of affairs. So that's why Krishna is saying, while within this body, when the time is good, when the situation is good, surrender unto me, Krishna says. Surrender unto me and escape from this misery. But so these two people came up to the sannyasi and told the sannyasi that the situation is like this. We have reflected on whatever we read in the book, but it is impossible to do anything about it. Sannyasi said, sit down, let me talk to you, he said. When the sannyasi was in his village, he said, in his younger days, while he was in his village, he said, there was one person who was a bit of a gunda-like, or a rowdy, or whatever you call it, like type nature. And he will get drunk every evening. And late in the night, he says, when he was a little boy, he was staying at home, he used to notice that in the middle of the night or late in the night, he will come home fully drunk. He'll be coming home. He'll be walking through friend of the sannyasi's house. So while walking through, he'll be shouting all sorts of things. And he'll be falling down at every few steps. He'll fall, he'll get up, then he'll walk again, he'll fall, he'll get up, he'll walk. Like this. This he was witnessing every day, he said. And one thing he said that we found it very interesting, that next day morning he is perfect again. He has fallen 10-12 times in the night, but in the morning when he comes out, he is sober and he is healthy as before. This is a scene throughout the world, isn't it? It's not only in Lakshmohi this happens. This happens all over the world. This thing happens. So he says, I have observed this, sannyasi is saying. But what happened to me, the sannyasi is telling him, that I had understood everything from the Shastram. And I was sleeping one night, and suddenly one somebody came and knocked at my door in the middle of the night. So, half sleeping mood, I woke up and went to open the door. And in the process of trying to opening the door, I tripped on something and fell and I broke my hand. I broke my hand, and he showed his hand to him. Look at this, he said. This hand has happened because this happened to me in the night. So he said, I was thinking like this since then, that why did this happen? I've fallen only once. And that man has fallen 10 times every night for whole life. And he has not even got a slightest fracture. And me, I've fallen once and this is my condition. So who is more advanced, me or that person? This was his question to the visitors. He asked this question. Vaso yata madhigrado yadidam madhandha, Bhagavatam says, that a self-realized soul is like this, like that drunk. Not like us. He's like that. We say, oh, he's a drunkard, he's not following the four regulative principles. Why does he need the four regulative principles? He has gone above the four regulative principles. Is it not? So think about all these things. Bhagavatam is telling us to think through these things. Because this is the best example in the Bhagavatam as well as in other Upanishads also. Why? Because we look down upon alcohol and thinking that, oh, a drunkard, this, that and the other. But look at his fortunate condition, that the body is not disturbing him anymore. Because he is not identifying with the body. Whereas we reach the sannyasa level, danda and everything in the hand. As soon as a small disturbance in the body happens, we run to America for the treatment. Isn't it? So where is the bodily understanding? Spiritual life is not monopoly of anyone. We must forget this point. We have this misunderstanding that spiritual life is only in the temple, only in the holy. Spiritually advanced people can appear anywhere in this world, under any conditions. What vasanas have come with them and how they have come out, nobody can say anything about it. Nobody can say anything about it. And there are many, many examples throughout the history like that. So from this you can see that the person who is advanced on the spiritual life, his understanding and attachment to the body goes away. Sannyasi said to these two people at that point that there is only one way left. To you and to me, the advice is the same. We are still thinking this body is ours. Unless this illusion goes away from the head, body belongs to Krishna. It is Krishna's body. Krishna has given to me this body, Krishna is maintaining it, and Krishna is giving the pain, Krishna is giving the pressure, Krishna takes it away when he thinks it's the right time to go. These are the laws of material nature, prarabdha vasanas and prarabdha karma, how he determines the body. So there is no escape from all these things. This is the point Krishna is making here. There is no escape from this. If you want to say that, I don't believe in all these things, what Krishna? You may believe or may not believe, that's another thing. But the law is law. Krishna is telling us these things. Ekadasi Skandam, Uddhava also has many, many questions to Krishna. So Krishna, through Uddhava, told us, talked to us, and through Arjuna also talked to us in this way. That if we accept all these fundamentals of life, life will become a lot easier. On the other hand, if you continuously fight against all these very fundamentals of basic principles of material existence, we will be simply wasting our time. So it is easier to cultivate this Krishna consciousness in this way rather than going after the other processes of treatments and medicines and everything which may or may not work. This doesn't mean that you should not look for treatment. But remember this always, body belongs to Krishna. And it is Krishna's body. Kshetrajnam chabhimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. In all the body belongs to Krishna. It is Krishna's body. Body is Krishna's property. And if it is Krishna's property, the right thing to do for the living entity is to hand over this property back to Krishna. In Krishna's service, in otherwise, serving Krishna is the right thing to do. As long as we are not serving Krishna, we are serving our senses, then it's not Krishna consciousness. So therefore, he says here that Atha baddhasya muktasyam shogamoho. Now, after while speaking about this, Krishna said this one thing important here. That the Krishna says, Vaisharadhyaya kshaya asanga shadaya chinna samshayaha pratibhubha iva swapnal nana tadval univartada. And now, how one will free oneself from this nanatvam? Nanatvam means this millions of perceiving many things in this world, so many names, so many forms, and experience. This is different, that is different, and this understanding. As far as Krishna is concerned, all the sangalpam. Sangalpam means what we determine in our mind, isn't it? That's what's called sangalpam. Sangalpam means we do things in this world based on our sangalpam. The word, I don't know exactly the right translation in English. More or less we can say what we have determined in your inside, what you want to do about something, that is sangalpam. That sangalpam, Krishna says, Esyasuvi the sangalpaha pranendriya manodhiyaha. That mind, body, intelligence, senses, all their activities are sangalpa shunyam. They on their own cannot create any sangalpam. Just like senses, intelligence and all, they don't work on their own, do they? They follow some instruction from somewhere. Otherwise they cannot function. Then, therefore, he says here that they become like that. How do they become like that? That nature of all the different elements in the body, mind, intelligence, senses, in due course of time, in a realized soul, become free from sangalpam. In other words, the sangalpam stops in them. They don't do any more sangalpam after that. See, currently, if you look into our own body, you can see that the thought develops from somewhere at some point, isn't it? We talked about the sound. When it comes out in the form of the sound, it is called vaikari. Before it becomes vaikari, there are three stages before that. Para, Pashyanti, Madhyama, Vaikari. This is the four stages. So from Para, everything begins inside. And that depends to Pashyanti, then Madhyama. We talked about this before at different stages, how the sound comes out. Before all these things come out, the source where it is originated from, the origin from where it has started all these things, at that point it is most powerful. By the time it has gone through these different things and came out through the mouth, through the sound, it is in a weaker state. That's what I mean? Much more weaker state. Just like, when you are, as far as sound is concerned, this is a hole in this ears, isn't it? The ear has a hole, the two holes inside. So through these holes, the sound enters inside. The sound comes in. When the sound comes in, the senses, different senses, similarly through the eyes, through the nose, through the tongue, taste, everything. They're all coming inside. When does it get its peak? It gets its peak when the mind starts enjoying it. Isn't it? When it is on the tongue, the food when you taste, when it is on the tongue, because it is so fast, it's happening inside the body. But the happiness of experiencing the taste of a food is maximum inside the mind. It's the mind that is, the sankalpam is in the mind, not in the senses. Is it not? Who is telling you that the food is very tasty? The senses are telling us? No. The mind is telling us. Who is telling us that the scene, what you see, is beautiful? Not the eyes, it's the mind telling us. So the central position where everything is controlled inside the body is inside. Is inside. So when he is controlling, if there the sankalpam stops, that this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. If it stops inside, all these different things in the body will become without any power. Will become without any, they'll have no power anymore to disturb you. Now we are getting disturbed by sense enjoyment because senses are constantly pulling the mind in one way or the other. And as much as mind is surrendered to them, mind has not been under control by anything, we give importance to the sense enjoyment and then we become victimized by that. That's what Krishna is saying here. That yasya surveeda sangalpa pranendriya manodhiyam vrtayasya vinirmukto dehastobhi talgunehi. Then the jnani, although he is sitting in that body, he has such a fine control on all these things that he says here he is never bound by any of these things. In other words, sankalpa shunyam. Sankalpa shunyam means one who has no sankalpa. Means if you look into Bhagavad Gita, this comes much more strongly than in the Bhagavadam about sankalpa, what Krishna talks about there in the second chapter, in the third chapter, sixth chapter, all these places Krishna will talk about sankalpam there. So it is the sankalpam that is causing this problem. Something inside is telling us this is good and this is bad. And that we have established within us very strongly. So once that changes, even if you act in this world freely with senses, it will not disturb you. It will not disturb your inside, because the sankalpam has gone away from inside. That is, this is a science, this whole thing, Ekadasya Skandam and Bhagavad Gita, whatever Krishna has spoken about is very logical. And only thing is, the logic what Krishna is presenting is little different. The modern science doesn't have a deeper understanding of these things. They are constantly researching after these things, hoping that one day they will see the truth. But truth is already there in the Bhagavadam. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.